Phil Henry Show brought to you by ABC. Don't miss the premiere of 10-8 Officers on Duty this Sunday at 8, 7 Central on ABC.
1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Henry.
We're going to be talking today with Paul Lane. He's a high school coach. And we're going to get into this hazing thing. See, it's interesting to me. And maybe you think that it's not a big story. The reason why I think it's important, and we'll talk about Arnold. Don't worry. Don't worry your pretty little heads. We'll get all into Arnold. You notice how it's Arnold, by the way. You've been noticing that, haven't you? Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's not Schwarzenegger. See, it's Davis and Bustamante. It's McClintock and it's Huffington. And it's Little Red Riding Hood. And it's Dopey, Sneezy, and Grumpy. But when it comes to Schwarzenegger, it's Arnold. Now, how'd that happen? Well, I'll tell you how it happened. He's got some of the greatest handlers, if you'll pardon the expression, I've ever seen. He's got a great publicity department, great press relations department. He's got great makeup, great costuming, great special effects. And now his guys, and you know, and the media, the press, will pick up on it. And then, of course, the American people being the American people, whatever the press picks up on, they swallow it too like a bunch of sheep. And so now everybody's walking around saying, Arnold. Like the guy's already the governor. In fact, at that debate, he said, on October the 8th, it's going to be Governor Arnold. Which I think is what we ought to call him. Governor Arnold. Like Arnold the Pig? Remember how they called Arnold the Pig? You know, he had a first name. What are you, Arnold the Pig now? This guy Schwarzenegger, he's governor. Forget about it. Don't even have the election. Just go ahead and proclaim him governor. Put that crown on his head like that butter spread. You know, I thought it was butter. Bing! He's the governor. And never in the history of man on this planet has there been a governor's race in this country where there have been more, you know, Hogan's Hero sound-alikes than I've ever freaking seen.
Yeah, well, you know, I think you're not good to be...
Listen, Ariana, you bitch.
Well, you're a dumb coffee...
Yeah, well, California is...
Yeah, well, I got a nice place there with the wine at the chateau.
And everybody else is just like, what the hell is going on around here? If ever you needed proof that this place is overrun by everybody and everything other than people from California, look, I'm not knocking. I'm just having some fun. Good for them. You know what? God bless people that want to serve their country, serve their state. Honest to God, and I mean that. I'm not being cynical or sarcastic. These people who run for office, we love to take the shots, but by God, these are patriots. Honest to God, that's the definition in my opinion. Somebody that wants to go ahead and step up to the plate. Oh, yeah, well, it's probably just special interest, Phil. Well, maybe it's not. Maybe they give a crap. Maybe they care. Yeah, sure. Politicians, they're all crooked. Okay, well, I guess you got to go off to your Laker game now, huh? Yeah, politicians are all crooked. By the way, speaking of immigrants, and I hate that, you know, they're doing a freedom ride. Have you heard about this? They're doing a freedom ride in the southern part of California to illustrate how immigrants are mistreated. Immigrants are mistreated in the United States. You know, Martin Luther King is spinning in his grave right now. There was a thing called a freedom ride back in the early 60s where people took their lives into their hands to register African-American voters in the South. They were white, they were black, they were Jewish, they were Catholic. Everybody went together. They were abused, they were beat up in more than one instance, they were murdered by the Ku Klux Klan and buried out in a swamp. And what was this for? This was to register Americans. This was to help the civil rights of Americans. This was to bring into focus the plight of Americans who had not been receiving their just due. Now, all of a sudden, someone has taken that definition, and I understand one of them is a veteran of the civil rights marches. Well, you know what? I don't know what this guy's name is, but I hear he took a baseball bat off the head from a Klansman. And with the greatest of respect to all of the civil rights marchers and freedom riders from the early 60s, maybe some of you cats ought to retire, because I think it is a disgrace, abject disgrace, to call, you know, the plight of illegal, undocumented human beings in this country some kind of a freedom ride plight, and they're being abused and mistreated in the United States. Is there a country anywhere in the world, in the history of the world, in the history of this universe, in the history of the galaxy, you know, wherever the Starship Enterprise is gone, I don't care, Vulcan, Klingons, Romulans, has there ever been a country that has treated immigrants better? Now, yeah, we've had range wars. Yeah, we've had ghettos. Yeah, we've had coppers beating up the Puerto Ricans. Yeah. But I got a little broadcast news for you here, baby. Americans travel abroad. We find American businessmen with a knife in their back floating in a Venetian canal. You find Americans getting brutalized in England. You find a lot of people all over the place having a difficult time. And if it's so horrible for immigrants, of course, the answer to the question is, why do they come? And the answer is, because this is the best possible of all worlds. Now, I'm not saying that you have a right to beat up immigrants. After that proposition, whatever the hell that thing was, what was that proposition about taking civil services away from immigrants? I forget what it was, but the point is, because you've got so many stupid people crammed together in one state, California, as soon as that happened, people took that to mean you could kick ass and abuse and be an utter and abject slob to anybody from another country, which, of course, that's not what it meant. But, you know, you'd have to get out of the third grade to understand that one. And that might be asking a little too much for some of our fellow Californians. It doesn't mean you abuse people. You treat them with dignity, you treat them with respect, but you say in no uncertain terms, I'm sorry, you're not a citizen. I'm sorry. You're not a citizen. You have to go back now. But I have rights. Yes, you do. And Thomas Jefferson said they were inalienable, which meant that they were they existed beyond the pale of government. And that's the argument that people have. Just because they're not Americans, does that mean they don't have rights? And the answer to that question is, while they're in America, yes, they do have rights. But one of those rights does not extend to permanent status, permanent limbo, living in this country illegally. That's not a right. You do have right to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, the amendments as we know them, etc. You do not have a right to stay here illegally, undocumented. You don't have the right to break the law, in other words. Even Thomas Jefferson wouldn't argue that you have the right to break the law. In other words, this is what we're being asked to swallow right now. And this is what this disgrace, this thing called a freedom ride, it's a disgrace. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a disgrace to the memory of Martin Luther King and of everybody that marched, everybody that rode, and everybody that worked for the civil liberties and civil rights of Americans. That's a disgrace. Who are you to start bandying about terms like freedom ride? Where do you get that? Where do you get your balls so big you use a term that some people died engaged in? Some people were murdered in cold blood, engaged in freedom rides, and you're going to run around California trying to get illegal immigrants, try to expose how badly they're treated in the greatest country that ever existed? Or are we going to have to go year in and year out, week in and week out, believing that we're nothing but a bunch of repressive Nazis and we should just all go home and shove Coke bottles up our rear ends, and in other words, you know, really just flagellate ourselves, if you'll pardon the term? See, because that's what we are. See, we're just a scum-sucking, rotten Nazi country, and we all need to go home and wear a hair shirt and beat ourselves, flog ourselves, because we treat immigrants bad, we treat everybody bad. Everything is rotten about this country. And the poor Iraqis, oh, good God. The poor Iraqis, if only America hadn't invaded, they'd be great right now. Everything would be great. But America, once again, goes over and commits its Nazi atrocities, and the French, thank God we have the French, honest to God, the clear-thinking, sober French, they got it together. We're a bunch of fascists, and the French, of course, are looking out for everybody's rights, and the United States, the greatest threat to world peace there is the United States of America. History will prove that this was a time when somebody had to step up to the plate with a pair of balls. It happened to have been a guy by the name of George Bush Jr. Not a particularly bright guy. Maybe he ain't too good with the domestic issue. And hey, maybe after 2004, that guy's going to be just a fart in the wind. But guess what? When the time came to take action in a decisive way in a particular arena of world politics, he did it. He did it right. So I'll give you that much, Georgie. And come what may, baby, you're always welcome at my house. And as far as this Prop 107 bans illegal immigrants from public social services, non-emergency health care, and public education. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem was the reaction of Californians when that was passed. They acted like the Klan. So here we are in the state of California, and we abuse immigrants. We abuse immigrants. Is that right? Well, let me tell you something. I suppose it's abuse if we say you're not allowed to come to this country unless you're documented, and they say, well, we're going to come anyway, and we'll get into the back of a truck, and it's 160 degrees in the back of that truck, and we will drive for days across the Anza Borrega Desert, and by the time we get to Los Angeles, they'll open the back door, and, ooh, baby, that's some stink, ain't it? And, of course, that's all our fault. That's America's fault, because if we'd open the border and let them all in, then there wouldn't be those coyotes sticking those people in the back of trucks, 853 degrees, you know, across the desert, no water, no drinking, no place to take a crap, nothing. You finally get up to L.A. or up into Ventura County or up into the San Joaquin Valley, open the door, and you got yourself like 100 dead people in there. And guess whose fault it is? You take a guess. You got it. It's yours and mine. It's America's fault. Our fault, because we got to open the border up, because Vicente Fox would like it to be an open border, because guess what? California used to belong to Mexico, but not no. It used to belong to Mexico, then America got a hold of it, and we're giving it right back, I guess. Is that the plan? Jesus, man, give me a hit on that thing before you flush it, will you? I know the cops are at the door, but if you got to swallow all that THC, let me have a handful. Somebody's going to have to screw their head on pretty freaking tight, man, to get around this one. Someone's going to have to step up to the plate and say something, anything that makes some sense. I'm not talking about hating immigrants, for God's sake. I'm talking about, how about our country, man? How about we take care of us, and then we can get around to finding out whether or not this scumbag coming over the border's got 100 dead people in the back of the truck that he thinks are farm workers. What the hell is wrong with people? What is wrong with people? You know what it is? They got a hard-on for mommy and daddy, and because they're dead, they got to take it out on the government of the people. They got an authority problem. Hey, if your mother drank and your old man molested you, why don't you just work that out with your therapist, okay? Don't transfer all of your angst onto George Bush or whoever the hell you don't like, okay? Just deal with your problems, and don't make it our problem. Now, coming up, we will be... Frankly, I'll be telling you a few of my problems because I'm not happy. No, coming up, we're going to have, who we have it on today? I forget. Paul Tubby Lane and Jeff Dowder and others on the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So I got onto this Mepham High School discussion forum. I logged in as like Bobby Dooley. And I tried to get on there. And I just tried to get a little discussion going. That's all I'm trying to do. Just trying to get a little discussion going. Now, Mepham High, just to refresh your memory, and you're going to go, oh, Hendry, what is it with you and this sexual molestation stuff? What are you, a pervert? No, here's what maybe I am. But I mean, in this case... This is what I'm interested in. It's insanity. It's pure, utter insanity. This is a high school where kids are supposed to go to learn and to feel safe, and they're getting Coke bottles shoved up their rear ends, golf balls. They're getting sodomized in the locker room by other players. The coaches don't want to talk about it. The principal doesn't want to talk about it. The people in the neighborhood want to protect it. The school idiots, the school thugs and bums, in other words, the guys that couldn't spell cat if you spotted them, the C and the A, you know, the dumbasses that are still eating their own boogers. They don't know what to do with them. So they send those dumbasses, like the junior and senior dumbbells, out in front of the school to harass the press that's there. And the entire thing comes off like one big sulfur-ridden, egg-ridden fart. It's as frightening and as, I suppose, typically American as something as anything. Call me crazy. Call me nuts. Call me anything you want. Call me honey. Call me Susie. But tell me this. Is it wrong of me to expect in this country... that I have a lot of expectations from. I don't know about the rest of you guys. You may think that you get out of bed every morning, and this is just, you might as well be waking up in freaking Tijuana, right? Well, I got kind of a different view. And I get this country, I think it's a reasonable expectation that kids go to high schools without this stuff happening and then having the coaches and the parents and the faculty covering it up. Now, this is this Mepham High on Long Island, New York. A real toilet. Now, I'm telling you, a toilet bowl, if ever there was one. One of these typically suburban Stepford, Harper Valley PTA pits. Where kids are sexually abused, and I'll go you one better. I don't give a crap who knows it. I think that it's my personal opinion that the coaches on the high school team there are predatory pedophiles, and that the principal of the school is probably the head of a huge chicken hawk ring of child prostitution. What do you think about that? That happens to be my opinion. So sue me. You freaks. You sick animals. Someone ought to take a freaking bulldozer, man, and level that joint, then pick up all the parents in the big bucket of that bulldozer. You know how they have the big thing? Pick it up, take it over to a burning ditch, and throw them in. Now, the history of hazing, they call this hazing. Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Hey, maybe the next time a woman gets raped, you could just say, hey, I was hazing you, honey, huh? Just kind of introducing you to the world of Joe Blow. Just introducing you here to the world of Phil Hendry. They've been hazing guys, and it's all homosexual, and it's, I shouldn't say homosexual, it's all rape-oriented, and it's all, has to do with the ass, and it's been going on for years. I mean, what is it with men anyway? Is this something I ought to be getting into? Just tell me, if I'm, maybe I should be in this. What is it with you guys? What is it with you? First of all, you're out beating up fags, then you're turning into one. Don't you know what you are from one day to the next? What is it with you guys? You all latent homosexuals out there? First you got a thing for a guy's ass, then you beat up anybody that suggests that you do. You talk about a conflicted species. The male, especially the human male, the American human male, as opposed to the American canine male, what is it I'm trying to say, is the most conflicted and confused animal that ever popped out of the jungle. We spend most of our time beating our chests, acting like we're tough, acting like, well, you know, our crap doesn't stink, trying to attract the female of the species to our heaviosity, to our sexual prowess, and to our masculinity, and to our utter and wonderful power. And then the other half of the time we spend fretting and worrying over whether we're men enough. And if anybody calls us a fag, we'll beat them up. And then, of course, we lust after our friend's butt. Is that it? And this is manly. Understand that this is manly. At Mepham High School, this is what they teach young men. Take a pine cone and cram it up your friend's butt. I just used the F word, so I had to have Ben dump me again. So how many times this month is it? 3-4 times? I said it was effing embarrassing. I said, okay, 8? I said, that's effing embarrassing. I said, dump it, Ben. So he's like... It's embarrassing for crying out loud that this would happen in an American school. Now they got a thing called teabagging. Do you know what that is? This is a hazing thing where they pin a guy down and the guys on the rest of the team drag their genitals across the guy's face in the name of God. So, and this is part of the football culture, apparently. So if this is part of the football culture, then this must be part of the college football culture, and I think by extension, it's reasonable to assume, and tell me if I'm wrong, it's reasonable to assume that teabagging is part of the professional football culture. So I think it's entirely appropriate to remind any ladies out there, if you're planning on having Warren Sapp's baby, just remember it's possibly had someone's genitals dragging across his face a couple of nights ago. So, you know, just be, come on, Warren, come clean, baby. You get teabagged there, man? By the way, I understand, and I forgive me, but I understand that John Gruden showers with his players. Now, does anyone have any information on that? 1-800-449-8686. Sick freaks. I'll be back with more of this crap. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, today we got on our program the very wonderful Paul Tubby Lane. He's a high school football coach. We'll have more on this very important issue of teabagging. We'll have more. Big, rough, tough football players dragging their sacks across each other's faces. Hey, all right. Come on, live in America, huh? We really got it together over here, don't we? Yeah, in high school, you get pinned down and people drag their genitalia across your face. All right. Isn't that great? Come on, live in America, the greatest country in the world. And one of the things we need to do, Colin Powell said that he's giving 6 months for the Iraqis to get a new constitution together. Did you read that? We also have to get the Mepham High coaching staff over there to teach them sack dragging in their gym classes so that when the kids get off the goat, the yak feed, what is that game they play with a dead yak on the horse? When they get done with that, they can do the whole ball drag. What in the hell? How embarrassing. Excuse me, I'm from Iraq. I love your country. I'm glad you're here. Well, thank you very much.
Can you, this is...
No, go ahead. You can ask me anything.
Well, it's kind of embarrassing.
No, really. This is America. We're free to speak our mind.
Why do you drag your balls across a guy's face?
Yeah, that. You saw the new...
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of goofy, you know?
Well, you see, it's fun.
Fun, okay, yeah. All right.
Well, no, not fun that way. Come on back. Weirdo. Hey, guys, let's get off of that. Let's get onto something positive. Madonna, she's written a new bestseller. It's a kid's book. How does it feel? You know, it must be fantastic. You can write any crap, and it'll turn into a bestseller because your name's Madonna. Isn't that great? You know what that's like? Hi, I'm Madonna. Yeah, I'm going to write a book. I'll just put any excrement on the paper, just crap all over the paper, and turn it into words, and then I'll give it to a publisher, and they'll be falling all over themselves to publish it because of the knuckleheads will be running out there to buy it. I mean, she's writing a kid's book. Yeah, what qualifications does she have to write a kid's book? Is she any good at writing kid's books? Last time she wrote anything, she wasn't writing nothing. The book had nothing but pictures of it in her, pictures of her in it, and she was in various stages of hunching a couch or something. Last time I saw her, she was straddling like a Barca lounger. She had a, like one of them floor mops, and she was playing Wicked Witch of the West with a thing with no clothes on. That's the last time I seen her with a book. Hi, I'm Madonna, and I'm just going to go ahead and put any excrement I want all over this paper, and it's a bestseller. Good going. God, that must be great. It must be fantastic. People want to be able to read, but the bottom line is they want to read interesting things. And the classics, forget it. Who's John Steinbeck? Forget that, man. Give me something I can understand. Give me the big words. Give me the big print and fewer words on the page, okay? And that's what I want. I don't want to read. What do you mean? John Dos Passos. Who's he? Who's Thomas Wolfe? What are you, high? What do you mean Walt Whitman? What do you mean Herman Melville? What are you talking about? Are these Americans? They sound like they're British. They sound like they're French. They can't be Americans. Well, Herman Melville wrote Moby Dick, the greatest American novel, the first great American novel. I don't know about that. Give me that Madonna book. I want the big words, I want fewer letters in a page, and let's just go. Spot, run, me, see, me, pee, bold, whatever. Just lay it on me, okay? It's a collector's item. You know, these cats that write these books, these celebrities, I'm telling you, this is a license to print money. It is a license to steal. Who's next, man? I mean, well, you know, Hillary Duff, My Life and Times. Is this what I'm going to be getting here? I did it my way. Yeah, I'm like 18. And, the new book by Madonna, it's a kid's book, which is fine. Write a kid's book. I don't give a crap. Everybody misunderstands me when I say, how come these celebrities and athletes, well, isn't it a good thing that they're doing? There are good things being done every day, folks. There are good things being done every day, some of them great things being done every day by completely unheralded people. You don't know their names. Nobody cares to print their names. No one even cares to go out and find them and tell their story. But as soon as Madonna squats over a piece of paper and calls it a kid's book, then I'm supposed to go out and just laud her from the hilltops to the valley about what a fantastic writer she is, and it's a bestseller. It's a bestseller. Well, I guess I ought to be encouraged. That means some people can read. Or maybe you don't have to be able to read it. Why are you being so mean to Madonna, Phil? I notice you've been all over her lately. It's nothing. It's just like it's time. That's all. I don't mean to be mean to her specifically. It's her time. She had a good ride. She was going along really nice. She was the sex queen. She was the this. She was the that. She was even Warren Beatty's girlfriend at one time. Now, what greater honor could a woman have than to be actually, escorted by Warren Beatty, huh? What greater honor than to say, I was with Warren Beatty once in the backseat of a car? That's great. I was with Warren Beatty once in the backseat of a jitney in Haiti. And he got out, pulled up his pants, and said thanks, and jumped into the limousine. Now, that's what I call an honor. So, but it's her time now. It's time, Madonna, for you to fade away, to go away. And if I got to push you off the edge of the cliff, that's what I'll do, too. She's just sort of wandering along the edge of the cliff. Phil Henry comes along and gives her a good, swift kick in the ass and sends her right down there onto the beach. Madonna will visit New York City on Monday. Ah, get out of here. With her kid's book. Hey, speaking of the French... Because we know Madonna digs the French, and Johnny Depp's living over there right now. But let's lay off the celebrities for just about a half of a second. The French have a new deck of cards. It lampoons America. It says that we are the biggest threat to world peace. Blah, blah, blah. Now, the guy that came out with this deck of cards with Rumsfeld's face on it and Bush's face on it instead of the guys from Iraq, this guy is a known weirdo. He's a known freak. He's the guy that wrote the book 9/11, The Big Lie. He's a frog with mental deficiencies, right? So I wouldn't even make an issue out of this drug addict were it not for the fact that this is very representative of the French way of thinking. And I was reminded that some of us are seduced into thinking that France is a great place to go on vacation. And many of you, especially you women, have been told that it's a romantic country. I have to be honest with you now, and you're not going to like this. It is not very romantic. I've been there. My wife has been there specifically. My wife hates it. She hates it. She thinks the French men are all ugly. And in point of fact, we got suckered in to go to that Moulin Rouge. Yeah, if you ever want to be around a whole bunch of old people and Asians, go to the Moulin Rouge up there in that ever, whatever the hell part of Paris that is. And you go in and they do the can-can dance. All the men are ugly, big freaking noses and scary looking. The chicks are nice, but I really go for the men myself. And it just ain't a very relaxing town. And then we got back, and we went to one of these phony baloney Republican women's meetings that my wife goes to, and there's a gal up there, she's speaking, because I got to go with my wife occasionally, things. Would you come? We're having a fundraiser. It's going to be a barbecue, and it'll just all be so wonderful. Okay, great. So I go to this thing, the woman stands up, and she says, Harry and I just got back from France. And, wait a minute, I thought we were boycotting France, you freaking right-wing nut. And I just want to say, you see... Talk about boycott France. Give her a shot to go to Paris. She wants to go. Well, it sucks over there. There's no reason to go. None at all. Plus, they don't flush the toilets over there. I might as well just break, you know, I got to break the news. They do not. And it's filthy, and it's disease-ridden, and I hear that diseases have broken out all over Paris. Honest to God. And they also, American women, a lot of them get shanghaied in alleys and sold into prostitution. It's bad. And I wouldn't say this about France because it's really one of my favorite places to go, but I got to be honest with you. Plus,
all the men are homosexuals.
All right, good. I got that off of my chest. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. We got our mailbag coming up later on today. Joe Dickhead with his NFL picks. Skippy and Frank. What would you do to become just like the Terminator? Bud Dickman is going to join us. Jeff Downer and Paul Tubby Lane coming up on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, I got to walk down memory lane here. This is a request from a listener by the name of Jennifer. Jennifer was absolutely appalled when, quote, I turned on your radio station, just shocked as Chris Norton from the Bachelors Anonymous group went on and on about how he wanted to throw his girlfriend's baby in the fireplace because it took up his personal time with his girlfriend. So then I went to your website to throw crap your way for allowing such a person to go on and on and on, and I found relief to see that this Chris guy is a regular on your show. Now, Jennifer doesn't indicate that she actually realizes that I do the voice of Chris. But let's listen to what it is she's blathering about, shall we? This is Chris Norton from April of 2003.
Chris.
Yes, ma'am.
I just have a comment for you. I'm secretly hoping that you're joking about all this, because if you're not, you're the biggest idiot I have ever had the pleasure of coming across in my entire life.
Ma'am, I love this woman very much, and her daughter
You don't love her. If you don't even love her,
in the picture.
Listen, you do not love this woman. You love yourself.
No, ma'am.
But here's another thing.
Everybody should love themselves.
Well, I think you love yourself a little more than anything else. That's what it sounds like. But listen, here's another thing.
Easy for you to say, ma'am.
This is an 18-month-old baby, and you're worried about stimulating conversation? Listen, I think your intellect is probably that of an 18-month-old, but I really can't believe that you have such expectations of a baby. You really know what you need to do?
No, I'm just saying. She's 18 months old. She doesn't say anything.
Well, we said that.
You know what?
But
if you knew
point.
Anything.
That's
if
the point
knew
of what I'm saying. The kid's too young to see you have a kid.
Well, then, you don't like the kid?
You can't understand.
Listen, there's no hope for your relationship. You don't like her kid. And if this woman, this model, has any sense, she'll see right through that after you guys go out on a few more dates.
Well, but, I mean, we've been going out for 4 months, and I do provide her with good sex because she's a model.
Provide her with what?
With good sex.
Oh, God, good sex. I know you must be joking. You sound like such a meathead. But listen, let me just make one last comment.
I have not called you one name, and all you've done is insult me.
I know.
I'm saying...
You're right. That's not fair of me to do that, but I'm so angry right now.
Well, let me say this, okay? First of all, what's wrong with approaching her ex-husband man-to-man and say, take the kid back? When the kid's older, then you can have the kid back.
You know what? Listen, it's not your place to do that, for one thing. But the other thing is, why? What kind of a mother would allow some kind of transaction to go on with her child?
Let me jump in here. The ex-husband, you'd be lucky if you got out of there alive. I mean, no ex-husband's going to hear from some boyfriend that he's never met before about taking custody of his kid back.
Well, actually,
with all due respect, I don't think you sound, I shouldn't say it, but are you hot?
Oh, please. No, listen.
Let me just tell you one thing. I love this woman very much, and
if you think love is something to be bad, then that's bad.
Any woman
dates a man who doesn't love her child, then you two are made for each other.
No,
but let me tell you one last thing. I'm being honest with her.
I don't like her kid. And
well, then, you know what? She'll dump you. I really hope she dumps
or,
you. But you know what I hope happens?
Or she can give the kid back.
You know what you should do? Go talk to her ex-husband, man to man, and I hope he kicks your ass.
You know something, ma'am? If that you hear your kid in the background right now?
Yeah.
You know what I would love to do is take it and just throw it.
Oh, I'm sure you would, Mr. Violent Californian.
Oh, okay, dumbass Floridian. Why don't you go hump another alligator?
Isn't that adult? And that's what we like to call comedy gold. 1-800-449 Hey, funnier than anything you're going to hear about right about now, wherever you are. Whatever you are doing and wherever you are and however you're doing it and whatever time of day, generally, the Phil Hendry Show's funnier than anything else you're listening to. That's what we like to say, and most of the time we're right. 1-800-449-8686. So we will have Paul Tubby Lane. He's going to address further the whole hazing thing. Kids leave the home and then they go to the school and they're supposed to be safe, I guess. Maybe they're not, though. But there was another shooting in Minnesota this time. Good old Minnesota. You know, where do people get off calling California the land of fruits and nuts and the place where all these crazy crimes occur? Minnesota now. Wisconsin. Tennessee. North Carolina. Colorado, all these middle American places where people are getting gunned down in schools. We just had another one now, this time in Minnesota. Hey, when your kid goes to school today, you better hug him real hard, kiss him real long, and say, it's been nice knowing you. Maybe I'll see you at 3 o'clock. Honest to God.
I ain't kidding. You think I'm kidding? When your kid goes, I'm going to repeat it. When your kid goes to school today or tomorrow, whenever the hell he's going to school, give him a nice long hug and shake his hand and go, you know what? It's been pretty nice. If I see it three, I see it three. If there's a body bag, I'll know what to do.
Radio, Dad.
Okay, see you later, babe.
Right.
If I see radio cars and ambulances, I'll just assume you're in one of those 16 bags, okay?
Probably a good idea.
All right, thanks, son.
You're welcome.
What, do you think I'm joking? Why not make a joke about it? Nobody wants to do anything about it. Nobody wants to get serious about this. I told you what to do. I told you guys what to do, but everybody's pussyfooting. Everybody's pussyfooting. Oh, I don't know if that's really... Oh, God! The karma of a gun. Are you serious? Am I serious? I've never been more bloody serious in my life. I'm as serious as a freaking stroke. That's how serious I am. A gun. In the hands of the staff... The principal, I'm not talking about hiring security. With all due respect to those guys, the freaking seven dwarfs could bust into any place the average security guy. They got security at my kid's school, and it's a freaking joke. I mean a joke, and I don't mean any disrespect. But even those guys that work security, they know they're a joke. Get out of here. This guy's about 3 feet tall, and he's walking around with a ham sandwich, and he's got a whatever the hell he's got, mace. Now let's get serious. Quit screwing around. You know what you're doing. You're fooling around with the lives of your kids. You're fooling around with the lives of your kids. I say that principals and teachers have a license to carry weapons. I say that some of them have a license to carry a concealed weapon. And I say the minute some scumbag comes to school with a gun, you walk up to him. Here's what you do. You put your arm around his neck like you're going to be in a headlock. And you put that .45 right up against his head. And the whole other side of his head will come off. Just pull the trigger like that. That way he doesn't have any freedom of movement. Just jam that gun up there. Pull the trigger. Presto. Tomato bisque. That's how you do it. Right as he's reloading. You know all these guys, they reload. You know, we have to hear and read through our vomit the next news story. As he stopped to reload. Yeah? Stopped to reload, huh? Well, here, let me just load you back up. You guys going to get serious about this? I ain't kidding you. Another gun down in a Wisconsin school or a Minnesota school, huh? Another guy walks in and kills people. So these Americans, these psychos, are now beginning to think that it's open season, and if they're pissed off at their boss, or they're upset because they've got a hemorrhoid, or they woke up and they got a pimple, or it's a bad hair day and they decide they're going to go and kill somebody, maybe if a few of these guys wind up with their brains all over the floor before they hurt anybody, maybe they'll be thinking again. Maybe they'll think twice. Maybe they'll think that walking into a McDonald's with a gun or anywhere else, somebody else might have one. Well, I say I'm not supposed to talk about that, though, am I? I'm supposed to sit here and encourage you to be quiet and wait for the police to arrive. Yeah, okay, the police will arrive, man. Meanwhile, you'll be getting harp lessons. You'll be getting your harp lessons, and Peter will be going, nice going, that's great, going after the guy with no gun.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-868. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Paul Lane is a head coach at Nawache High School varsity football team, and there have been high school programs that have been cited as overly aggressive. I know that you are a successful head football coach, and I first of all, I want to thank you for being on the program. Coach Lane, tell us about your program, and then I have to ask you some questions about some of the criticism you've been receiving.
We understand the last three seasons, I came in, I turned this program around here at Nawache High School. This program was a perennial Nebraska High School Division II loser, and in three seasons we've been semifinals once and we won a division twice. And
well, whereabouts is Nawache High School?
We're about 75 miles to the west of Omaha. We are a outer ring bedroom community of Omaha. But to say that our program has been anything but a success, I think, is wrong. This is what sets us apart from the other schools. They can't seem to pull it together. So what we tell these parents is a proven winning method of motivating young athletes. And we are a proven winning record. So that's the most important thing.
Well, your program, among others, has been cited in some press as an example of overly aggressive coaching and getting players into so-called winning mentalities. You say the coaches...
You said the coaches shower with the players?
All right, let me explain to you what coaching high school football is all about and why we are a success and why so many programs around the country are not a success. We have a problem in our society with predatory teachers, inappropriate teachers, these molestation cases I think disgust all of us. What I do after practice, after games, is I'll jump right out into the shower with the players. I'll shower with them. I want to show them that I'm not a pervert. I shower right alongside of them. Then we head off to the lockers. We'll get dressed. We'll talk about the game. So the guys get used to seeing me without my clothes on, or I see them without their clothes on. It is not a sexual thing. To suggest that it is would be slanderous. But understand this, that from 3:30 until 6, every night during the season, these kids belong to me. So if the parents want to come to me and complain, I say to them, between 3:30 and 6, your son is my son. Now, I had a seminar, Phil, at the beginning of the season that you were going to ask me about.
Well, I want to you sit the parents down and tell them what will be expected of the boys.
That is exactly correct. What I do with parents is I sit them down first and I say, now, listen to me and listen to me very carefully. I'm a winning football coach. I turned this program around 3 years ago. And if you've got a problem with that, you can take your son right out of the program right now, because I don't care. But I can tell you right now, between 3:30 and 6, your son is going to belong to me. Now, we win football at our high school because we have one thing and one thing only that we're devoted to, and that is to be a team as opposed to a collection of individuals.
All right, but I want to get back to the showering. You made a comment that this is done in the NFL.
That coaches will shower with players?
Yeah.
Absolutely. What I have heard, and this is only what I've heard from people close to the game, John Gruden of the Buccaneers will shower with his players. He enjoys it. They talk about the game. My understanding is that head coach Herman Edwards of the New York Jets will get in and shower with his players. When a coach and his players are working on a week's game plan, those players belong to the coach for however long, and each day on Kepperson Stadium Field at Nowatchie High School, those players, members of the Nowatchie High Bandits football, varsity football team, are mine. And to suggest that we have something to do with these predatory, pervert situations is wrong.
Nobody's called you a pervert, but you say that you shower with your players. You also have disciplinary methods.
You have to understand the difference between what we do, Phil, and what some of these other schools do that breaks the law and has some of these schools in trouble. First of all, our philosophy and total commitment is practiced by us in ways where we make the player understand. If we got a player dogging it, we all discipline.
This kid that you're talking about, and I forget his name, it was Kyle Fredrickson. You guys all took your clothes off and hit him with wet towels?
That is correct, yes, sir. But, again, your interpretation is way off. What we did is, We snapped him with wet towels because he had been walking it through the practice. He had not been hitting his receivers. He had not been hitting his linebackers. So we stripped in the locker room. We soaked the towels, and we snapped them at him. Now, this is called a red dog. This is not anything that is not done anywhere else.
Are you telling me the coaches in high school program, I don't know a lot about, but football's changed a lot since I played in high school and at a very limited level, but are you telling me that coaches strip with their players?
This is common now because we want to show the players we're not sick, we're not predatory, and we will involve ourselves in the players disciplining each other. If a player dogs it through a practice, the other players are going to definitely have something to say about that. So when we took Kyle, we snapped him with the wet towels. The incident you were talking about before with a Coke bottle is something that got blown out of proportion.
Well, a Coke bottle was pushed up a young boy's rear end. Am I right about that?
No. Here again, you don't.
Well, sir, isn't that true? In your school, wasn't one of these boys hazed with a Coke bottle?
You don't understand. Again, what it takes to turn a football program around. First of all, that boy was again disciplined by the team, and I told him, you can take the team's discipline, or you can go ahead and head on down the highway. You can quit this football team right now. He said, Coach, I want to stay on the team. I said, all right. I said, you come into the locker room where the junior varsity players assembled. He was told to strip, and this was what the team decided on.
Pushing a Coke bottle up this boy's backside.
That is correct, and I can tell you again, see, what you think is that it's sexual.
And I think it is.
It is not what it is, sir. He wants to humiliate us out on the football field. We'll humiliate him.
And why were you taking pictures?
I'm sorry?
Why were you there taking pictures?
Again, you are asking questions that might be better reserved for my attorney.
Well, Coach, if there's nothing wrong, why are you taking pictures of your players pushing a Coke bottle up this kid's rear end?
Because we want to have a record of it. Because, as I said, we are a team. Because we can post these pictures and show them this is what happens. But I'll tell you something else. What you didn't report is that the next week that young man went out, caught two touchdown passes for us, ran for 163 yards, ran for another touchdown. So you don't report that, do you? All you do is report. And
sir, I've got no axe to grind. I'm just asking, and none of this has been denied by you.
But, well, I apologize, Mr. Ramble. I say the press does this.
All right, we're talking with Coach Paul Lane, and we've all been shocked this week about some of the revelations about high school football. Coach Lane coaches at Nawachi High School. It's outside of Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska, sir?
Yes, sir, about 75 miles to the west.
All right. Coach, your program has been, some of the parents at least, have been asking questions about the kind of disciplinary measures that you use. You shower with the players, you strip down with the players, and while they all wet towels and give some guy a rat tail, you also had an incident where a Coke bottle was shoved up a kid's rear end, and you say this is all according...
You have to be a part of the football. I can tell you haven't played football in a long time, have you, Phil?
Not since high school, no.
All right. It's changed an awful lot. You have to understand that this is football. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing sexual about it. There's nothing assaultive about it. It's men and boys getting together and enjoying each other's company. And again, they do this at the pro level.
Can I ask you something? Do they haze at the pro level?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Do they do this thing called teabagging at the pro level?
My understanding is some pro camps do use teabagging. Yes, sir.
Some pro camps. So you're telling me in the professional ranks, some rookie is held down while guys drag their you-know-whats across his face?
That is correct, yes, sir. Well, and again, there's nothing, you have to understand something, it's not sexual.
I find it rather perverse.
Well, it's because you're not around football, so you just want to come and watch us play, but you won't let us do things our way. And to be able to lather up a young man's back in a shower, shampoo his hair, this is how you get together with a young man, you find out how he's feeling, how he's playing. With any sexual, there's no sexual connotation.
I just want to be clear. You're lathering them up with soap.
Well, by you repeating it, you're trying to put a sexual connotation on it.
But I just want to know. You're in the shower naked with these guys. You're shampooing each other's hair.
Mr. Henry, again, there is nothing sexual about a football coach who cares about his young people getting into the shower with them, talking about the game, soaping each other up, giving each other shampoos. Reaching areas where they can't reach.
All right, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. We have football coach Paul Lane on the line. And he's right. It's been 30-plus years since I played high school football, and maybe things have changed. But we've got, well, I don't know. There's questions that some parents have. Now, according to Coach Lane, there is nothing sexual and nothing assaultive about a team disciplining a player. In his locker room, they all strip and rat tail the guy, meaning you soak a towel, make it wet, spin it up tight, and then snap it at his rear end. Or in another instance, they got the guy and pushed a Coke bottle up his rear end. Now, I asked him, and I said, we've got instances of this happening around the country. He said, no, there's nothing sexual about it. It is disciplinary, and that the American people are taking this stuff out of context, and that there is absolutely nothing assaultive or criminal about it, that it is a way that a team gets together to play football. He also said that he showers with his players and shampoos their hair. And I said, is that appropriate? And he said, if you want to make it sexual, that's your problem. But this is just a way for a coach to communicate with his players. All right, 1-800-449-8686. I got to be honest with you. If my son was in a football program like this, I think I'd pull him out of it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Survivor Compton.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coach, you approve of certain hazing methods on your football team, which include players being stripped down and having things pushed into their bodies, correct?
Mr. Henry, I approve of anything that is going to get our team motivated for the season. You have to understand that we are, and nothing that will injure the boy. But I think that what you need to understand and what the parents need to understand of all football players is I'm a football coach, and that means between 3:30 and 6 o'clock in the afternoon, those boys belong to me. And I will be polite, and I will listen to what the parents have to say, but ultimately, I will decide what happens with those boys. Now, if they don't like it, they can take their boy off the team unless he is a vital part of that team. Then I will have to keep him on the team. But these parents want their boys to play football, so they relinquish the power to make...
Wait. If I come to you and I say, I don't want my son showering with his coach, I think it's wrong to have a boy showering with his head coach...
Again, you are intimating that there's some sexual perversion.
I just don't think it's right. And I want to take my son off the team, and he happens to be the starting quarterback. You're saying I can't?
No, sir. I will not allow that if the boy is important to our football program, because I have won two division titles in 3 years. I have gone to the semifinals the first year. If you think I'm going to let you... I understand he's your son, but between 3:30 and 6 is mine. And on Friday night at Kepperson Stadium, at Nawachi High School, there on a Friday night, 7:30, that's kickoff in Division II. Capital League, I'll expect all the players to be there.
All right, 1-800-44... Okay, so if I'm a parent, I don't want my son playing on your team because I don't approve of your disciplinary methods. I got no choice.
Unfortunately, no, you do not. I control if your boy wants to play or if your boy doesn't want to play. You don't.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Barb. Barb, go ahead.
Yeah, this man is sick. He needs help. And the school board who allows this man to coach the children is...
Well,
sick.
Ma'am, if I'm sick, then two division championships are sick.
You know what?
And I doubt very seriously if you even have children, so, you know, I'm interested in speaking to parents.
I'll tell you, I have children, and I have a son.
Do any of them play football?
My son played football. He surely did. And let me tell you...
Well, let me explain how football is played.
No, let me explain how reality is.
The first thing that we do is that we take these boys under our wing. We train them to be football players. We don't let some mother who doesn't know anything about the game interrupt our training because
mommy... Are you for real? Are you a real person or is this a truth?
Are you a real person?
Well, Coach, what we're trying to do, Coach, is determine your methods are unusual.
My methods are to bring a winning team to our school. That's what my methods are for.
Does the school approve of this? The school board?
Absolutely.
The principal and everybody approves of it?
Well, the team approves of it. That's the most important thing. The coaches approve it.
But the school board...
If your son won any games, I can guarantee you your son had a hat.
I would move my son if I had a hard time.
During the regular season, you wouldn't have any choice.
Well, what is that supposed to mean? She can't get her son off the team?
No, she can't. Not by league rules, no.
You know what?
Well, good luck. I mean, if you want to learn about football, I'd be happy to tell you about it. But other than that, I don't have much to say to her.
There are legal rules that will make it so that you are not allowed to do this.
No, ma'am. No, not at all. Those boys belong to me between 3:30 and 6 o'clock in the afternoon and between 7:30 and 9:30 at night.
Well, wait a minute. You've got a football team, you're showering with the boys, you're shampooing their hair, they're shoving Coke bottles up each other's rear ends.
No, they're not shoving Coke bottles up each other. This is a disciplinary step that we took with one boy, all right? This is only a discipline.
Did you tie a rope around someone's genitals and drag them around the locker room?
I did not tie the rope. One of our junior varsity players did.
And drag the guy around the locker room?
We led him around, and we said, "You want to be somebody's old workhorse? Then here's what happens." And we all had a big laugh about it. And
nobody was clothed.
We were getting ready to go. You're trying to again make a sexual.
No, wait a minute. You're naked with all of these players. You're tying ropes around each other's genitals, and you're walking around the locker room. I find that to be a little weird.
Do you play football, sir?
Coach,
do you play football, sir?
Not anymore.
Then I don't think you understand one thing about football, professional, college, high school, or otherwise.
1-800-449-8686. Lisa, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question for the coach. You just said that you condone this behavior, the discipline, the Coke bottle issue.
Well, it's the team discipline themselves.
Let me finish. The towel issue. You said nothing that would cause harm to the children.
Right.
However... What do you think a Coke bottle up a child's rectum is going to do to them physically? Not to mention emotionally.
Maybe
and
you can maybe you can enlighten us, because I don't know. Do you know?
Excuse me, I didn't hear you.
I said maybe you can enlighten us, because I don't know.
Oh, I think that's first totally inappropriate, which goes right along with your behavior.
I don't understand. What are you doing? You said to me, "Do you know what it does?" It doesn't do anything. It's perfectly harmless. It's fun.
A Coke bottle up a child's rectum is harmless.
We're having a little bit of fun. The kids laugh it off. We had two.
Well, you know what? I am a parent. As you just slammed some lady and said she is not a parent.
Well, no, she wasn't. She was.
I have two children, two boys who play ice hockey, which is a very, very competitive sport.
Yes, ma'am.
And you know what? Never once has a coach done the things that you have done, and I would pull my kids off the team.
Ma'am, I can tell you that...
If you were the... Let me finish.
I can tell you that hockey engages in the same kind of hazing.
I am not finished.
Hockey engages in the same kind of hazing. You may not want to hear it, but...
Well, wait a minute. Are you telling me that the junior hockey, peewee hockey...
Absolutely. It's the way that you get up. You motivate a boy. To push something up his rear end is to say, get going. And in hockey, you don't like football. They use hockey sticks. They use pucks. What do you think about that, ma'am?
Well, are you there, Lisa? Or she hung up?
Well, she wasn't getting her way. She wanted to talk.
Well, sir, you were butting in.
I was trying to tell her about how I know in junior hockey, for a fact, especially in Canada, they'll take an entire stick and push as much of it up there as they...
Now, wait a second. You play hockey?
No, sir.
Yeah, well, you asked me if I played football, and I haven't played football in 35 years. And you probably never played hockey, have you?
The point is, sir, I know a lot of coaches in hockey and baseball, and utilizing the technique, showering naked, putting things up there, tying a rope around genitals, it all sounds perverse until you win that Division II title. And when you see that trophy, all those hours of standing there naked with players, oiling them up or rubbing them down with lotions, talking to them, tying ropes and strings around private areas of their body until the blood, till the circulation cuts off so you can kind of get their attention, all that becomes very, very worthwhile. And I can tell you, we won Division II, Section 3, Capital League last year. I won Coach of the Year. I tell you, my brother played junior A hockey in Winnipeg, and they had to put half the stick up his rear end.
Okay, that, you know what, I got it.
Well, I'm just...
Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. If you have a son in football, high school football, college football, this hazing is probably a little bit more prevalent than you think. This coach is with a program in Nebraska. They put a Coke bottle up a kid's rear end. They also tied strings around their private areas until the circulation was cut off and led them around the locker room like they were playing horsey. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Licking the urinal, too.
So you force players to lick the urinal.
Yes, sir. And you cannot, again, Mr. Henry, understand what it means to motivate a football team unless you've been there. Now, these parents who come in and disrupt my program... And
well, if you got my son licking a urinal, I don't know that that's part of the football program.
No, you don't know it's part of football programs. What I say to you, and I say to every one of the parents out there who have a son in my program, and I'd say this to every parent out there who has a son in any football program, you back the hell off, let the coach do his job, and when that coach does the job, my friend, at the end of the season on Kepler's Ohio Stadium, like we do in many of the football stadiums across America, you'll be raising Division II, Division I trophy. And you'll be very proud of your boys. But I can tell you right now that I'm going to do what I got to do. And as I said before, and I'll say it again, once your son belongs to me, once he's on that football team, he belongs to me, you don't say diddly. You're going to get my permission to talk to him.
And well, you know that that isn't true.
That is the case with the football program.
1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Paul Lane about football and about some of these hazing incidents. And licking urinals,
putting Coke bottles up people's rear ends, tying strings around their genitals, duct taping their rear ends, and then pulling it off along with the hair. All of this stuff sounds torturous. It sounds assaultive, sir, and it sounds illegal.
Well, sir, it is not illegal. It's not assaultive. It's football. It's and I would suggest that, just back off on things you don't know anything about. I suggest to all the parents just to sit down, shut up, get away from me, back off. Let me do the job. You're going to be proud of your young men.
1-800-449-8686. Dominic, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. I just want to make a comment. I've never listened to the show before.
Go ahead, Dominic.
I just happened to have it on tonight. I think this guy's a total lunatic.
If you want to win.
Sir, let me talk. You've had your chance.
I was just going to mention, we had a dopamine.
No, hold on. Let me make my statement, then you can continue.
Go right ahead, sir.
I live in Toronto, and your comment about youth hockey, in Canada, a coach touches a player beyond patting him on the back, he's being charged with child abuse.
I'm not talking about touching a player. I said
you're talking about lathering up, shoving Coke bottles, shoving hockey sticks
that's
up
not
a kid's butt.
Technically, that's not touching. That is just, if you take a hockey stick up a kid's rear end, you're a good 2-3 feet away from the boy at that time. Am I right or am I wrong, sir?
You have a bigger problem than what's on
no
the surface.
No kidding.
No,
I mean,
wait, hold on.
No,
are you gentlemen saying that there's something wrong with me?
100%.
Well, I mean, what do
I'm
you?
I'm sitting here in my car listening to you. I'm shaking. I'm so pissed off. Should not be around kids 100%.
Sir, do you teach hockey or do you teach youth football or any of these sports?
I've played hockey. I've played football. I am now an assistant coach on a football team up here.
All right.
And there's none of this going on.
Sir, I'd have to tell you that. I have a great many friends who played in the Canadian Football League, and many teams used to have, they put peanut butter on a man's genitals and have a Doberman pincher lick it off. And the minute that man flinched, he was cut from the team. He's on waivers.
What? What are you talking about? Professional?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well.
The Canadian Football League would put peanut butter on a guy's thing and have a Doberman lick it off, and if the guy flinched, he's cut and he's on waivers?
Well, you know, you can scream like a woman all you want, Mr. Anderson.
Wait, whoa. What do you mean scream like a woman?
Well, you're going, what? I mean, I'm trying to tell you how it is. Now, this young man plays hockey. He knows full well that Brett Hull wouldn't be where he is today were it not for the fact that someone inserted something in his rear end and in a way that would motivate a young man.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about anything sexual.
No, I mean, I don't know what else to say. Obviously, he's got a one-track mind here. A championship is great. Not at all cost.
Absolutely, sir.
Not at all cost.
At Nawachi High School in Nebraska, we've hoisted two Division II trophies over Kepson Stadium.
You know what, pal? I would rather not have a trophy if it meant that I had something crammed up my rear end like a Coke bottle, a hockey stick, or having a Doberman licking peanut butter.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead. That's what
Personally?
Yes, sir.
If it takes a Coke bottle stuck on my butt to win the championship, you can keep your championship. It is not worth it.
That's the way a loser thinks, son. And I don't coach losers. I want you to turn that attitude around.
What? Yeah, okay, man. I'll turn my attitude around. Just give me the Vaseline and the Coke bottle, yeah. Thanks a lot, Dominic.
Oh,
Thank you.
You two guys, hold on for a minute. You two guys think I'm some kind of a gay boy, right? You think
I'm... No, I mean, I didn't say that, but I think it's weird to say championship at all costs. I think that young man made a very good point. Julie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Coach Paul Lane.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Julie.
Live in Utah, and I'm not sure where you're at, but from where
I'm in Nawachi,
have done what you've done, he would have been charged with sexual abuse, okay?
Why is
I
it
called
sex?
My son on the phone.
Why is that called sex, ma'am? I don't see how it's sexual.
No. It's sexual abuse, okay? If you know anything about sexual abuse, it has nothing to do with sex and enjoying
you
sex.
See,
it has to
see
do
how
with power.
Your mind is.
Now,
see
let
how,
me finish,
see how
okay?
filthy, see how filthy your mind
power,
is.
It power, not sex. And nothing about sex.
It's filthy.
When it comes to sexual abuse.
You see how filthy your mind is, ma'am?
I called my son, and just be quiet and let me talk, okay? I called my son, who is 19 years old, graduated from high school 2 years ago. He played high school football.
Right.
And I called him and asked him to turn on a radio because he's staying in a hotel room and there isn't one there. And I asked him if what his coaches did. And they would no more have stepped into a shower with a boy and at all.
Well, ma'am, could I make a point, Mr. Henry? First
no,
of all,
you cannot make a point because I don't believe in your point.
Ma'am,
okay?
Utah is not known for its high school.
For a half an
all right, hold
hour
on.
Now.
Hold on.
And
everybody, hold on.
Let other people talk.
Julie,
okay?
Julie, this is Phil Henry.
No,
hold
no,
on.
No.
Julie,
no, no, no,
I'm the host
no,
of the show. You're going to hold on. What do you want to say, Paul?
Phil, all I want to say this lady is Utah is not exactly known for its great high school football. I'll say that with all due respect. So it's no wonder that they're, you know, the coaches don't have the guts to lather up with a boy. They don't have the guts to grease up a Coke bottle or whatever you have to do to motivate a young man. That in Nebraska, we do. At least at my school, we do. Many other schools, Canada, and the great hockey coaches down through the years would love to shave the hair off another man's ass, you know, just for things that would they would accommodate each other. That's all. Now, this lady don't know nothing because her son played high school in Utah, which is about like playing peewee football in Southern California. So,
all right, hold on. Let me see if Julie's still there. Julie, still there?
I'm still here.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay. You know, he has his own attitude, and there's nothing that we say is going to ever change what that man has to think. Okay? What he's doing is wrong. Plain and simple. These parents that are letting this happen need to be shot also besides this coach, okay? He may be a good coach, and he's winning titles.
That's
and
right.
They may think that that's all fine and dandy, but the way he's doing it is wrong.
I kick ass, man. That's all I know. I kick a
okay,
lot of ass.
That may
and
be,
I lather
may
up a lot of
coach,
ass, too.
But the way you're doing it, it is wrong.
Julie,
physically,
I just want to say.
Mentally, I mean, you shove anything up a child's butt, whether it be a Coke bottle, a hockey stick, a baseball bat, that is child abuse. Okay?
How do you define that?
Child abuse in any state.
How are you defining that? So you think it's sexual abuse that I make the heavyset boys on my...
No, child abuse. And if you look up, if you know anything about the law, sexual abuse has nothing to do with sex. It is called sexual abuse, but
yeah,
it has nothing to do with sex.
I saw
it has
Oprah
to do
too.
With power.
I saw the Oprah Winfrey Show too, but what I want to say is,
well, what do you mean you saw the Oprah Winfrey Show, too?
Well, she's just quoting Oprah. She don't know.
No, I'm not.
Now, here's the thing.
I work for a living. I work until 5 o'clock every night where I live at. Oprah Winfrey does not come on until 4 o'clock.
Everybody said that to me. I do it, too.
I didn't hear either one of you guys. Could you repeat yourself, Julie, please?
Okay.
Say
he said that I watched Oprah Winfrey. He said I watched Oprah Winfrey.
No, I didn't. I said you saw
Oprah
Winfrey.
Comes on at 4 o'clock.
You watch Oprah Winfrey, not Oprah. There's a whole different show on the East Coast. It's Oprah.
I work till 5 o'clock, and she comes on at 4.
Oh, yeah. You know what time she comes on, so you don't watch her at all, you lying set.
All right, now watch that.
Yeah, okay. I just
lying
happen to know what time she comes on, okay?
You happen to know.
On at 3.
You watch her show. You join her book club. You do everything she tells you to do.
You know, man,
you'd have sex with a black man if she told you to.
All right, look, I have to say, and I want to interrupt. Coach Lane, you are doing things that are, if not blatantly illegal, they are entirely unethical, entirely wrong. Even if the players are doing it, you're not. We've got a terrible thing going on back east. And football, just to win championships where kids are abused, where kids are being sodomized, this needs to stop. And guys like you, I'm sorry, do need to go to jail.
I've won 2 Division II titles, okay? I'll take that, okay? You want to send me off to jail and have me, have a bunch of big black guys do me from behind? Fine. But at least I got those trophies. How about that, Julie?
You know, that's all it is to him is winning titles. He doesn't care what he's doing to these kids mentally or physically.
Don't you care?
Of course I care, but I'm well past caring. I mean, all I want to do is retire and get the hell away from all of you people.
All right, Julie, thank you for your call. I think you made some very good points.
No, I don't think she did.
I think she did.
Well, I don't agree.
Well, I think she made some great points.
No, she did not. She made nothing but stupid points.
No, she didn't. She made really good points.
No, I think she was an idiot, and she probably drinks.
Get out of here, man, okay? All right, so that's our contribution to that debate. I lather up with them. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, making pot brownies. 1-800-449-8686. The Bill Henry Show is back.
I'm on here with Coach Dozier. Are you there?
Yes. It's Paul Lane, Phil.
Oh, Paul Lane. I'm sorry. Coach Lane, you're there, right?
Yes, sir, but I'm talking to one of our boys who came in here.
Okay, are you in the middle of something?
Well, I've got one of our players here. This is Joe Fredrickson, who plays tight end for us. He has come off the practice field. If you don't mind, Philip, I'd talk to him and...
Go ahead. I want to overhear this.
All right, sir. You understand what you have to do, right? You have, when you run that post pattern, but you come off the line, all right, and you give that cornerback a stutter step, then I want to see you run that post pattern, all right? I don't want to see you dog it there because your quarterback on a five-step drop, you understand? All right, so I want you to go get the axe handle in my office and bring in some of the lubricant.
Paul?
Go get that stuff.
Paul?
Yeah, Phil.
What are you doing now?
I have talked to our young tight end, Joe Fredrickson, and he has, this is the third time this week in practice that he has not been able to juke the cornerback on a post route, so I've asked him...
When you say juke the cornerback...
I mean put a move on him where you can lose him and run a post pattern, and you give your quarterback some time that way. Now, he has not done this three times, so we're... Yeah, give me that... Get lubricated.
What do you mean... Are you putting...
We're just going to put some grease on an axe handle here. It's a small axe handle. I want you to, Joe, bend over. Just bend over. I'll push it right up there about halfway.
Am I to understand that you're putting an axe handle up a kid's rear end right now?
Excuse me, Phil. All right? Now, you just walk around like that for a while. Let the other members see it. See how you've screwed up and how you've hurt your team. No, don't you pull your pants up.
Is the kid walking around the...
Hold on for a minute, Phil. Don't you pull... All right, Phil.
Do you have that kid walking around with an axe handle hanging out of his rear end?
Phil, this is a young man who I've spoke to week in, week out, about a specific post route that we want our tight ends to run. Now, he understands how this route is run. I tell him, you've got to block that linebacker, juke that cornerback, and hit that post pattern. This young man has not done that.
But have you lubricated an axe handle and put it up that kid's rear end?
Hold up. Yeah. Shout out, I'm a sissy boy. Yes, I have, Phil, but that is not sexual abuse. That's just putting an axe handle up a boy's bottom area, which is perfectly normal and acceptable in coaching circles throughout certainly the Great Plains areas, as well as many camps throughout Northeast United States.
Let me go to Todd. Todd, go ahead. Todd?
Yeah, I just, I'm almost in shock at what I'm hearing. I'm almost wondering if it isn't staged or made up.
I want to, Coach, were you actually putting the axe handle up that kid's rear end?
Mr. Henry, I don't care what you believe or what you don't believe or what your callers believe or don't believe. All I know is we've won two Division II titles in the state of Nebraska over the last 3 years.
And I played ball, both basketball and football. We won state championships in both sports without a single axe handle involved.
Well, who am I speaking with, sir?
Because we respected our coach, not because we were afraid of him.
Who am I speaking with, please?
This is Todd.
Todd, this is Coach Lane.
But I wouldn't let my son in the same room with you.
I don't know how good your teams were, but I can tell you right now.
We were extremely good because several of us played Division I ball.
Well, sir,
I think you got the wrong technique.
Our championship teams, I would take against your boys anytime. Come here,
Paul. I think we'd beat you because we had talent. And
with that handle back up there.
Not out of fear.
What did you just say? I'm sorry, Coach Lane.
Dead wrong.
Well, sir.
And I think you ought to be reported to the authorities.
For what?
I hope somebody does.
What did I do?
You got an axe handle.
That's called sodomy.
Oh, look at you at making it sexual. It's got nothing to do with sex as far as I'm concerned.
It's sodomy.
Really?
And I hope somebody in your area reports you.
All right. Come here for a minute, son. Take the axe handle out of your butt. This guy's getting all crazy. I don't know, some guy on the radio. Go hose it off.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, he pulled it out. You happy now?
You're the antithesis of what a coach should be, if you know what the word antithesis
right.
even means.
You're exactly right. If a coach should be a guy who loses football games, I'm the antithesis. I'm the antithesis. Well, I don't even know if you're telling the truth. I don't even know if you're for real. I think Mr. Henry's making you up.
I think you're made up.
No, I think you're made up.
Wait a minute.
Thanks for my call,
all right.
Mr.
Thanks
Henry.
For taking my call, Mr. Henry.
Hello? Hello? Okay, so but I didn't make up either one of those guys. All right, we don't have time for our flashback. We're going to have Dean on, but that's fine. That's Coach Lane, and he's got that axe handle going on. Coach Paul Tubby Lane. 1-800-449-8686. It's pretty bizarre, isn't it? But, you know, the culture of football, you can't really get involved. You can't offer an opinion because who knows what it takes to be a champion, huh? Who knows what it takes to be a champion in the National Football League or anywhere else for that matter? Now, once you go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com, and you can hear gems like that last hour with Paul Tubby Lane and the Axe Handle. It'll be on our website very shortly. And for $6.95, you become a Backstage Pass member. That means every day of every month of every year, you'll be able to go to our website, log on, go and listen to all the audio, classic audio in our audio archive, our 30-day archive. And when the show is streamed live, you'll be able to download it, that is, burn it to disc, and keep it for your own. So if you're collecting the Phil Henry shows, you don't have to go to some bootleg site. You don't have to go to these Morpheus or any of these other places anymore. We're offering our show on our website for the price of a Backstage Pass. That means $6.95 a month. You could download every single Phil Henry show in 1 month's time. You can burn it to disc and download every single show in 1 month's time. That's the offer we're making to you. Go to www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's dealer. This is the Phil Henry Show.
I want to get in the mailbag here this hour. I wanted to mention a story that I guess maybe you guys are familiar with. This is the Afghanistan, the story about Americans traveling to Afghanistan. I guess they're from Oregon. A woman accused with six other Portland area residents of conspiring to help Al-Qaeda and the Taliban fight U.S. forces in Afghanistan pled guilty Friday to money laundering. In any event, they found some people in Oregon who wanted to go and fight America in Afghanistan. And, of course, the question that pops into my mind, maybe it did into yours, is how stupid do you have to be when you live in America to travel all the way to Afghanistan to fight America? You got to be some kind of a rocket scientist, some kind of a real whiz kid, brother. I bet you could figure out the exact centimeters of air in a volleyball if I gave you about half a year. Gee, I don't like it. See, this is the whole thing with the Taliban. I mean, we were so pissed off after 9/11, we would have ripped the throat out of anybody wearing a rag on their head. And it turns out these guys are some of the poorest, dumbest slobs. I mean, they're pathetic. And when they say the Taliban's rearming in Afghanistan, that's kind of like saying there's a militia in Montana. Yeah, okay, that's great. That's nice. That ain't exactly what I call big-time threat. Just a bunch of ragtag slobs. And they're women in their bags. And they're men. I mean, have you ever seen anything like it before in your life? And people ask, what are we doing over there? Good thing we're there. I think it's about time we injected a little bit of America. And when I say inject a little bit of America, understand what I'm saying. We inject a little bit of the future. That's all I'm saying. We're not ashamed of being a country that is heading toward the future like the French are embarrassed by it. The French are embarrassed and ashamed to even be French. They're embarrassed and ashamed to have been just such a bunch of, well, if I were French, I'd be embarrassed and ashamed too. By the way, now I know why I really don't like them. They were hosting Madonna. I don't mind Madonna and her kid's book. I don't want to get, please don't get me wrong. She's fine. I guess writing a kid's book is a charming way of her working out her mom thing, you know, like she's the only mom that there ever was. See, she gets kids. She's got one. So she's going to go out and she's going to teach all of the other women of the world how to communicate with kids. And what? She's got two? Hey, good for you, Madonna. You got two. By the same guy? No, by two different men. That's always charming, isn't it? Yeah. That's so charming. Four kids, four different men. Good God. Oh, are you judging her, Phil? Yeah, I am. Yep, yep. That's what I'm doing. I'm judging her. Yeah, I'm judging her. Hey, how's this for judgment? If you live with a woman and you have a child with that woman and you're not married, you are turning that child into a bastard. What do you think of that? What's your opinion about that? See, people think that, well, you know, the whole marriage ritual, that's a thing of the past because it has no significance. Why should I have to validate I got a letter from a guy once about this. Why do I have to validate my relationship with a woman to please society? Please try to get this. I know this is going to be tough for a lot of people to grasp, especially those of you who don't get married and just go ahead and pop out kids. A lot of you, and you know what, you're going to hate this, but many of you are people of color. There's a lot of white trash out there, too, but many of you people of color. Now, you're not going to understand this, but I'm going to go ahead and lay it on you anyway. The marriage ritual is a symbolic showing to the tribe of your commitment to this woman and to this man. That's how you show your commitment. When you stand before the tribe, in this case, the society, but in essence, you're standing in front of your tribe and you're saying, to this woman, I am now committed. This is my mate. This is highly symbolic. And symbolism is very important to human beings. Why do you think we all wear wedding bands? Why do you think we all stop and shed a tear when we see Old Glory Wave? Why do you think we all wear earrings and nose rings and plugs in up our butts and everything else? These are symbols. This is ornamentation. It's tribal. It's very important. So you marry a woman and you legitimize it in the eyes of the tribe with a marriage ceremony to say, I am committed to this woman, she is my mate, and the children that we have from now on will carry my name, as opposed to living like some white trash. And you have no love for your kids. No love for your kids. If you're living with her and you're not marrying her, go ahead, live with her. I don't give a crap if you live with a woman. That's fine. Go ahead, do whatever the hell you want to do. The minute you have a kid, baby, your life is over as you know it. All bets are off and everything's changed. You need to legitimize that child.
Why do I care what society thinks?
Yeah, go right ahead, man. Go ahead and spit some bastard out into the world, and because you don't care what society thinks. You have to care what society thinks. The marriage ritual is, as I said, a symbol to the entire society at large that this is your commitment. It's important, it's symbolic, and quite frankly, anybody that doesn't do it isn't committed to the woman that they're with. And if I were a woman living with a guy that wouldn't marry me, I'd think that the guy was out there screwing every bowling alley waitress that there is. And I would definitely have that guy age checked every, 2 weeks. My man, he's loyal to me. Uh-huh, sure he is, honey. Sure he is. Like Warren Sapp's loyal to his old lady, huh? Nice thing about the Sapp family there in Tampa, somewhere out in the world, the kids have all got half-brothers and sisters somewhere. Anyway, getting back to our friends up north there in Oregon, going over to Afghanistan, what a colossal group of, this is Mensa, man. Let's go over to Afghanistan and fight America. You live here already, dude. You do it right here. If you want to fight America, if that's what you want to do, right? Isn't that what you want to do? Yeah, I want to fight America. Okay, well, what are you going to Afghanistan to do it for, you idiot? What a clown. You deserve to go to jail, man, just for your own safety. You might stick your finger in a wall socket one day, thinking that it's maybe it's your toothbrush or something. Who knows? You may think you have to plug your hand in to suck your thumb. Whatever it is, somebody ought to put you in jail just to save you from yourself. Let's go to Afghanistan to fight America. And it's up in Portland, Oregon, where all of our real brain surgeon friends live. I'm told that they're very educated, that they're very erudite and bookish. Think again. Oh, brother. So that's why I say, America needs to insert itself in these parts of the world. Don't you understand? Here's an interesting concept. Now get that this is really true. The notion that all men are created equal, that happened around 1776. That was important. But from that, somehow, somewhere, we got the wrong idea that all nations are created equal. And they're not. People are. Nations aren't. Some nations are illegitimate. Some nations are barbaric. Some so-called countries need to be stopped. Some need to be ended and changed, especially when the people are suffering and when they pose a threat to other people. So Iraq, you know, like before the Iraq War, everybody was saying, what right do we have? We got every right. Well, why? Because we're morally superior to the leadership there. Oh wow. Oh, get a load of you. I mean, how arrogant. No, it's not arrogant, man. It's true. It's not arrogant. It's true. Tell me it's not true. Go ahead. Tell me it's not true. We just don't have the right. Yes, we do have the right. Yes. As an ever shrinking world of nations trying to hang on to the slim tether to reality and to civilization so that we can walk out into the street and not have the sewer come into our living room every night, yes, we have every right. We have every right to defend ourselves. Wherever the garbage is, we got a right to turn a flamethrower on it, turn a garden hose on it, to sweep it into a dustpan and dump it down the big hole, whatever you want to do. Flush it, dump it, bag it, wrap it, get it out of here. Well, what gives us the moral superiority? Oh, I don't know. Let's see. If I look around me and I'm honest with myself and you're really honest with yourself, you recognize that America probably is the moral example for the world. Are you going to tell me I'm wrong?
Well, it's not right.
Yeah, you're right. It ain't right, man. There ought to be somebody other than us. Why are we the only ones? We're the only guys that got to apologize for stuff. We're the guys that got to make sure everybody's rights are protected. The French don't. The Ruskies don't. Why? Because they're too stupid. They're too underdeveloped. The Germans don't. Why? Well, they're only 40 years from being Nazis. The Swiss don't. Nobody bugs the Swiss because they got everybody's money. The Africans don't. Well, they're coming out of a colonial period. The South Americans don't. Well, they're just stupid. The Mexicans don't. The Japanese don't. The Australians, well, they're a former penal colony, if you'll forgive the expression. So the only country left in the world that has to toe the line 100% down the line is America. So we're the whipping boy for the world. Far away from what some people perceive to be the truth, that we're ruining the world or that we're a threat to the world. We're the guys that everyone wants to kick our ass. You guys better make sure that you're moral, that you treat everybody right, that you do this, that you do that. You got to pay the social services of people that aren't even citizens. You better make sure that Palestinian guy down there that wants to blow the whole freaking thing to kingdom come, that you respect his rights. You got to make sure that every towelhead and raghead in this country that wants to destroy our people and kill our nation, got to make sure you respect their rights. You got to make sure you don't profile. You got to make sure you do this. You got to make sure you do that. You got to make sure you do this. And when Amnesty International rolls out their annual report, baby, we're right at the top of the list. We're the biggest Nazified power in the world. America did this wrong, and they did that wrong, and they did this wrong, and they did that wrong. Why don't you look up Amnesty International sometime and check out the record of nations around the world? Take a look at Canada's, for instance. Apparently, the cops up there can't stand Indians because they brutalize the crap out of Indians up in Canada. That's right. You got a record, baby. You got a filing cabinet all your own with Amnesty International Canada. Apparently, your cops are kicking the crap out of Native Indians up there. Now let's go over to the Krauts over in Germany. They beat the crap out of the Turks. The cops in France hate everybody. I mean, they hate everybody. They beat everybody up. And on and on and on and on it goes. So I think it's time we start beating up some French. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm kidding. Those frogs are such a sack of crap. They had a thing rotating through the news about 6 months ago that a Frenchman was badly beaten in an American restaurant, a Los Angeles restaurant. Janice and I looked high and low for that story. It never happened. It never happened. But the French repeated that some Frenchman was beaten in an L.A. restaurant over and over and over again. Why? Because they don't have any truth on this side over there. That's how decrepit they are. All right. Other good news for this hour, by the way, Jeff Dowder's computer show is going to be debuting this hour. This is going to be exciting. Jeff Dowder is going to have a computer show, not just about computers, but about the computer lifestyle. It's the Jeff Dowder computer show coming up. Joe Dickhead and the Professor with their NFL picks, and the Skippy and Frank show ahead this hour on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Welcome, everybody. This is the Jeff Dowder Computer Show. Hi, everybody. It's the Jeff Dowder Computer Show. My name is Jeff Dowder, and I'm going to talk a little bit about computers and also computer lifestyle that, you know, we live and everything. And as you know, our show is the only show that tells you not only about computers, but the computer lifestyle. We'll have advice for you and a lot of stuff. I'm going to go into Letterbag today, and this is a comment here from a guy. He says, should I wear pants when I'm surfing the net? Well, probably not, because if you find a porn site and you're ready to go, you're ready to rock and roll, you know, your pants are off, you know, you're ready to rock and roll. So I would not wear pants surfing the net, okay? I will be right back. Okay, I want to talk about being on a computer, whether you're surfing the net or you're IMing your friends, or you're playing a game of Halo or Myth Online, Madden, or whatever. I get a little tired of people saying that our breath is bad and we dress badly. Those of us who are into computers, yeah, okay. I'm not the biggest on dental care. I'm not the biggest on fashion, because we don't have any contact with people. That's what people don't understand about the peoples that are on computers, okay? I'm surfing the net, dude. I don't have time to clean my breath up so you feel good about life, right? And if I go to the store, or I'm using Pink Dot or what have you, get myself, you know, maybe a dozen of the Krispy Kremes, a six-pack of MGD or whatever, and my breath reeks. Hey, man, you know, I'm playing Madden online, you know, and I'm in the basement of my mom's house. All right, we're going to be right back. Okay, our computer show today is going to talk about that. And I want to get a call in here. It's Buzzy Johnson. And Buzzy, how long have you been living at your mom's house right now? Because I lost track of that.
Yeah, Jeff, I've been in my mom's house now for 16 years. I just had my 40th birthday, and we renovated the garage here about a year ago, and I live there, and very happy.
When's the last time you saw your mom?
Oh, I saw my mother about, I think it was her birthday, 95. So it's been about 8 years. But I can hear her outside, you know, hanging clothes up. I don't know. I don't care. I know there's movement around the house, but I haven't been out of the garage since... since I got here, and me and my imaginary friends, we'd have a great time. I say we, it's the people I am, and a lot of them I crank.
Yeah, now I want to talk to you about cranking people on message boards and cranking people on, what I wanted to do today is about the fact that since we are on our computer doing so much important stuff, which is such a joke, right?
I haven't done anything work-related in years. Porn is very big. And part and parcel of that, of course, is my sex life. So, the thing about the chat rooms, you watch out, you got a 14-year-old girl, you think you got a 14-year-old girl, could be a cop.
Yeah, that's the thing I want to remember of everybody who I'm listening right now. If you think you're talking to some 14-year-old sweetness, and guess what, dude, might be the RCMP, could be Vice, could be FBI. Good luck. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I mean, we all remember Snarky.
God, yeah, rest in peace, dude. I mean, he's not getting, what is he?
He's in Stillwater, Minnesota. Yeah, he'll be out in 20, 35, something like that. But he thought he was talking to some something tight and pink, and it was big and hairy. And
that's absolutely right. So remember, when you're surfing the net and you're IMing, you want to go private on chat, check it out. You may think she's sweetness. You may think she's extra purdy. But, brother, you could be talking to some hairy old bitch who works for the man. All right, what else we got today, Shifty?
Well, we want to know about, first of all, I want to let people know when their wife and kids leave them. A lot of us don't know this because we're online and we're IMM and we're surfing and we're doing the thing that we're doing. You know, we're hacking, we're doing everything. And how do you know if your wife has finally left you and your kids are gone? If you get a vague feeling that you want to have sex from a real woman instead of just pounding it to some Japanese porn site or some kind of Russian hairy, you know, hairy upper lip site, then go and find your wife. And if the house is empty and looks like it hasn't been swept for years, she's probably gone.
All right, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Absolutely. Because
I had a girlfriend one time but I really wanted to go and just mess with my Pro Tools. She said, why don't you come back? I got a teddy, and I've got a leather teddy and whatever, you know. And she said that she might even let me do, you know, something nasty and everything like that.
Uh-huh.
But I said, okay, cool, but I want to go home and mess with the Pro Tools, okay? I just got Pro Tools, man.
Oh, that is so awesome. And then I hear Lincoln Park has it in their bus.
Yeah, it's a bitchin'. So anyway, so I messed with the Pro Tools. Well, about 6 years later, I was reading a newspaper or something that she was dead in a head-on collision. Turned out she'd gotten married, all this stuff, man.
And you didn't know it?
No, I didn't know it, man. And last I talked to her, she said she was going to pop me a beer, and I was supposed to meet her at her apartment. But I got into Pro Tools and everything. That's really sweet, though.
Yeah, Pro Tools is worth it. It really is. I mean, if your girlfriend offers to let you do her back door, let's see, Pro Tools or my girlfriend back door, Pro Tools is going to win.
Yeah, absolutely. Those people don't understand that.
Yeah, it's way better. It's way better.
Absolutely, man. Hey, listen, Starks, always sweet talking with you, man. Remember, don't be cranking none of those, you know, Kenyan websites or something, man. Some, you know, secret police from Nigeria might get you, dude.
I know.
You are insane, man. Always getting online with those freaking message boards over there. You're going to piss off the wrong dude one of these days, man. Bo Greitz emailed me.
Oh, head wacko?
Yeah. He's getting the posse together up there in the Aryan Brotherhood or whatever. Okay, that's all the time we have right now for the Jeff Dowder Computer Show and the Computer Lifestyle. Remember, our big tip today, when surfing the net, just go ahead and have your pants off. So if you hit a good porn site, also, if it's one of them teen sites and stuff, I find apparently they know how to, you know, find you and stuff. So you're on your own on that one, man. Hey, till next time, this is Jeff Dowder. Remember, you know, I don't have any friends.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I like that Dowder computer lifestyle show instead of just a computer show, because there's a whole lifestyle around being a computer aficionado, meaning you live in the basement. A, you don't bathe. B, your breath's bad. C, you can't dress. D, you don't know what it's like to have human contact. And on and on, and there needs to be a lifestyle show for guys like that. Note to Fox, could you guys get your tongues off of Arnold Schwarzenegger's rear cheeks long enough just to give the appearance that you're fair and balanced if you say you are? Fox, Fair and Balanced, Day 2. Part 2 of our interview with Arnold Schwarzenegger, the man, the myth, the actor. This guy has been all over that network now for 2 days running. He's got an interview there with that little midget. He's got another interview there with Alan Combs. He's interviewed by that forehead boy. He's on the midday news. He's on the morning news. He's on the overnight news. Aren't there some other people running in this race? It seems to me I heard this guy McClintock and Bustamante. You know, McClintock, I'd almost vote for you if you weren't so bloody Republican. I'm kidding about that. I'd almost vote for you, man, if you just back off that pro-life baloney and start getting with the real world. Like, you know, there are other people than white people around here, all right? You seem to be a little focused. You seem to have your stuff together. Meanwhile, Arnold, he wouldn't answer a question, man, if you put a loaded shotgun up as you-know-what. If you were inaugurating him onto the Mepham High School Butt Pirate football team, he wouldn't that guy wouldn't answer one clear-cut question. Why should he have to? Everybody's all gaga over Arnold. Remember, at the beginning of the show, I said that. What's with him in the first name? All of a sudden, we're on a first-name basis with this guy? Today, I'm listening to the news. I'm listening to KFI Midday News today here in L.A., and I'm driving around. I'm listening to Chris talking to some knucklehead with the Republican Party and everybody with the Arnold this and the Arnold that. Well, Arnold has a chance to be the... Is the last name that tough? Is it really that many letters and that big a Schwarzenegger? That's about, what is it, four syllables? I can even spell it. You want to try me? Schwarzenegger. Am I right or wrong? I think I'm right. See? I read, I write. I'm smart, not stupid like people say. Try to, you know, but anyway, memo to Fox. If you call yourself fair and balanced, which of course you're not, and you never have been, but if you want to give the appearance of it, if you want to just give the S-C-H-W-A-R-Z-E, I was right.
Bet you if you asked any one of these brain surgeons over at Fox or CNN or these new, go ahead, spell Schwarzenegger. God, I'd love to do that. Come up the forehead, boy. Oh, you're real brilliant, huh? How do you spell Schwarzenegger?
Well, Mr. Henry, that's not the case. That's not the case here. Let's talk about you.
This guy is going to be elected governor of California, having had more softballs lobbed at him than the Orlando Rebels all-women's team. He's going to become governor, having more slow-pitch softballs lobbed at him than the king in his freaking court. He never had to answer a question that was more than six letters. Six words. How are you?
Fine.
Okay, you're governor. Anyway, it's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Skippy and Frank and Joe Dickhead will have his picks tonight. Last week he went 8-5, something like that. National Football League is on us again. And I just want to say something that's been bothering me for about 24 hours. That guy that called last night, remember we got into it about the NBA's rookie thing? Look, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to come off sounding so hard-ass about it. Because the guy felt that the NBA was a legitimate parental entity for these guys coming into the NBA. And if you missed it, the NBA has got a rookie program where most of these rookies who don't know how to spell their own name and eat with their hands and wipe with a newspaper because they've been doing it in the outhouse until the NBA got a hold of them, they have a rookie transition program, and they teach these kids how to use a fork and a knife and how to, you know, look at people and not look too stupid and say, how do you do? My name is... you know, LeBron James. My name is Kobe Bryant. In other words, become a functioning, civilized man, right? And I found it a little disingenuous because I felt that the NBA was not really, didn't really have the best interest of these young men, but they're an investment, and so they want them to, they don't certainly want to be dealing with a rape case every 5 seconds, right? So maybe if you can get them to act like decent gentlemen, they won't have such a public relations problem. This man calls and said that they were a legitimate parental entity, and I went kind of ape crap on him. So I didn't mean to do that, sir. And that guy went to the Citadel, right? He came out of the projects and went to the Citadel, which is a private military college in wherever the hell it is. South Carolina? How the hell do you afford to go to the Citadel when you come out of the projects? I came out of Arcadia, California, and I could only afford to go to PCC because that was free. But then maybe I didn't have the brains that guy had. In any event, you do whatever you want to do, NBA, because you guys are just the greatest. How about that? 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Moving along to Scott Peterson. An attorney quit his case. We ain't talked about Scott in a long time, but it's getting closer to that day of reckoning for Scott Peterson. As you know, he is one of the world's great scumbags and an exemplary scumbag in that he had so many people believing what a solid, good husband he was, except for me. Sorry to have to pull that one out, but I never bought this guy was innocent, not for one half of a second. He was a piece of crap from day one, as far as I was concerned. And as far as my opinion goes, which ain't worth much, but here it is, the guy's as guilty as sin. The sooner they put a noose around his neck, the better. I've been saying that since day one. I'm going to keep on saying it. Now one of his attorneys has quit. Guy by the name of Matthew Dalton, his role in the high-profile case, was confined to behind-the-scenes legwork, no longer employed by the L.A. law firm of Garagos and Garagos. That Mark Garagos is so in love with himself, he named it twice after himself, just so he'd be reminded that he really is the boss. She referred the, whoever the hell referred questions to managing partner Mark Garagos, his lead defense attorney, but he ain't returning messages. The separation comes in a week filled with rumors, some published and aired in various media, that Peterson's unhappy with his legal representation. Look, Scott, you're going to be unhappy as long as you're guilty as living sin, as long as there's very little room for wiggle room, as they like to say, you know? You're going to be unhappy with your legal representation, pal, as long as you're about as guilty as freaking Jesse James, my man. Look, that whole devil worship thing, that was a joke from the... You'd think people bought that? That's gone. The whole demonic ritual thing, done. You're a classic case, baby. You're a psychological case. You're a profile in action. You're a husband with a wife who was pregnant. She's about to have a baby. You panic. You see your life changing forever. You realize that unless something is done, you'll be tied to that woman and that kid for the rest of your life. No more dates. No more chicks. No more fast cars. No more of your baloney life. Your baloney, fast, hot, yuppie life. It's done, right? You're a classic profile. 20% of all pregnant women who are murdered in the United States are murdered by their own husbands. And you want to know why? The profile's always the same. It's a firstborn that's on the way. The husband panics. He doesn't know what he's going to do. He needs some freedom. He needs some wiggle room. He needs to just wiggle, baby. So you did it, Scott. You killed her, man. You killed her. You dumped her in the bay. You went on Good Morning America. Diane Sawyer looked you into your deep, big, blue, stupid-looking eyes, and everybody thinks you're a sweetheart. Well, you're a scumbag, and you're going down for the count. And if any jury finds you innocent or not guilty, whatever they call it up there in Broken Whistle, California, then shame on them. Peterson's father, Lee, remember that piece of work? Lee and his, oh, man, that mother. No wonder she's got an oxygen tank. She's so full of crap, she's got to come up for air half the time. You might as well be carrying it around with her. Peterson's father, Lee Peterson, confirmed Thursday Garagos continues to represent his son. He declined to say why Dalton left the firm. Maybe because the guy just couldn't take the stink any longer. In May, Dalton suggested to reporters that Lacey Peterson's family members were burglarizing the Petersons' La Loma area home. Who is this Dalton? Is that the guy that quit? All right, there's the story, there's the news, we'll be back. We got Skippy and Frank, we got Bud Dickman and Joe Dickhead ahead. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Good morning, Charlotte. Time now for the bad boys of rock and roll radio, Skippy and Frank, serving the entire Civil War Historic District. Now, 87.3 WASTED. A-S-S-H-O-L-E-S presents Skippy and Frank.
Yeah, 49 minutes after the hour.
Yeah, it's 49 after the hour, Skippy and Frank show.
Well, what do you got going on today?
I'll tell you what I got going on today. Arnold Schwarzenegger's no big deal. Calls himself the Terminator. What's that all about, Frank?
I don't know. He thinks he must think he's pretty something hot or something.
Yeah, Schwarzenegger thinks he's hot. Skippy and Frank are hot. We're the bad boys of radio. And we're on the edge, too. I want to do some stunts today to prove we're better ass than Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Nope, no, you know, we're going to have people call in and call us at 1-800-ASS. That's 1-800-ASS. We can call in to do some stunts.
Yeah, we'll do some stunts. You wait and see. We got some phone calls here, and every stunt we do, if you'll donate some money to the Skippy and Frank charities, that'd be fantastic.
I think it's a great way to raise money for charity if you do some stunts.
I'll do some stunts.
Let's do some stunts.
I'll do a stunt. Let's go to the phones. Hey, how you doing? What's up?
Hey, Buttload, Skippy and Frank.
Back at you.
Back at you.
Yeah. Hey, Skip, man. Remember the time you were down at Cutterbin Mall and you shoved an arc welder's torch up your butt? Do you remember?
Oh, that was radical.
Yeah, could you do that again, man? I'll give you like a quarter if you'll shove an arc welder's torch up your butt and you know, like, turn it on.
Okay, man, you got it, baby. No doubt about it. All right, we got the arc welder torch?
I'm going to get the arc welder torch. Now, Skippy's going to shove it up his rear end.
And this is for a whole 25 cents for the Skippy and Frank charities. Okay, go ahead.
All right, I got it right here.
All right, I'm going to drop my pants.
You ready?
Yeah. Yeah!
That's fantastic. All right, let's go do traffic now. And here's traffic here with Commander Butthole. Hey, Commander, how's it going?
Hey, going good. It's Skippy and Franklin. There's a fire downstairs there. I can see somewhere in the downtown area. There's a guy running around with his ass on fire. Oh, looks like it's Skippy. All right, we got traffic downtown looking pretty good. Skippy and Frank, back to you.
Hey, how you feeling, Skippy? All right. Let's go another phone call. Skippy will do a stunt for you if you'll give his money to Skippy Frank Charity. Skippy just put an arc welder torch up his butt and turned it on. What a moron. How you feeling?
How the hell you think I'm him?
All right, let's go to another phone call. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Bundle, Skippy and Frank. Hey, Skippy, how you doing, dude?
Oh, man. Oh, that hurts.
Oh, bet it does, man. Put a blowtorch up your butt. One time my brother tried to light one of his farts, and it banged like it was backdraft, dude, off of a Zippo. Anyway, I was wondering, I'll give you, 50 cents if you'll fart in Frank's face, man. What do you think?
That's gotta be deadly.
Oh, no. Don't fart in my face. Not after having an arc welder up your butt. No, 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 don't do it. Don't do it.
Ow! Ow! See, that's what happens, man, when you fart with an arc welder up your butt.
That was deadly.
That was radical. You guys crazy or something? You just rock. You rock.
What's your favorite radio station?
Skippy and Frank on 87.4 WASTEDASHOLES.
I've got a phone call. Let's get another dumbass on the phone. Okay, stupid. What do you want me to do for our Skippy and Frank charities?
Skippy, Frank, this is Bill Miller.
Oh, it's the general manager of the station. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Listen, I will give you guys 2 weeks severance if you'll get out of my radio station right now.
All right, he wants to give us 2 weeks severance if we'll get the hell out. So we're fired.
Yes. Oh, that's right. You're very good. You're very quick. You always were, Skip. Yeah, you're fired. Get your ass out of there. Get your burning ass out of there now.
This has been the Skippy and Frank Show, fired again, but not gone forever. Tune in next week to find out what station they're working at. The Skippy and Frank Show on the Phil Henry Show.
Wow!
From high atop the Las Vegas Strip, this is Toxic Hitchcock!
Jesus. And I'm the professor. Welcome to Joe Dickhead's NFL Picks on the Phil Henry Show.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Dickhead's NFL Picks this week. The Arizona Cardinals at the St. Louis Rams. Arizona very, very smart. Very, very quick against the Green Bay Packers there. In 106 degree temperatures there in Arizona. But I don't think they'll do it again this week at St. Louis over the Arizona Cardinals. Professor.
Joe, we got Cincinnati at Cleveland. This is our upset special. We think the Cincinnati Bengals are going to, Cincinnati, didn't they change it? It's supposed to say Cincinnati on the site. Okay.
What are you just broke character.
No, I didn't. I'm still a professor, you ass. Don't tell me or I broke character.
Jacksonville and Houston, yes, the Jacksonville Jaguars off to a horrible start this season. 0-3, they suck. But there's only a team that is worse, and that's the Houston Texans. Jacksonville beats Houston at Houston.
New England at Washington is going to be a boring football game. We think Steve Spurrier will be able to handle the New England Patriots all by himself.
Philadelphia at Buffalo. The Buffalo Bills are on a tear, losing last week to the Miami Dolphins. It won't happen again. Philadelphia is obviously not all that cracked up to be. We think it's Buffalo over Philadelphia.
Minnesota Vikings, 3-0, looking for 4, and they'll get it at home against the San Francisco 49ers at the Metrodome.
Tennessee at Pittsburgh. I think it's all over for Bill Cowher there at Pittsburgh. What do you think? He can finally get by the Cincinnati Bengals last week. Tennessee's going to beat him. Tennessee over Pittsburgh.
Well, you think you're good, huh?
Yes, I can do it that fast.
I think Kansas City, Baltimore, and I think Kansas City is going to win.
San Diego, I think it's going to be San Diego.
Atlanta, Carolina, I think it's Carolina.
Dallas, New York, I think it's Dallas.
Detroit, and Denver, it's Denver.
Indianapolis, New Orleans, Indianapolis.
And Monday night?
Monday night.
Monday night.
Monday night.
Green Bay.
This has been Joe Dickhead's Picks!
All over my suit.
All right, man. What do you think of those picks? Cincy over Cleveland? Cincy's at home? No, they're playing on the road against Cleveland. He doesn't believe Cleveland just beat San Francisco. Somebody there in the Joe Dickhead camp thinks that Cincinnati is so due it ain't even funny. Against Cleveland on the road? I don't know. Green Bay over Chicago? That makes, boy, Chicago's horrible. Indianapolis over New Orleans? Well, we'll see whether Joe Dickhead is right or not. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life.